Good evening, everyone. I asked the elders if it'd be all right if I spoke from the floor. I began this way on Sunday morning, and it just seems a good way, particularly with the material that I'm going to work with this evening, to be just a little closer to you and have the opportunity to speak here on the floor. My Bible is open to Deuteronomy, please, Deuteronomy chapter 17. I'm going to begin at the end of that chapter in just a moment. Let me say a word of appreciation to this good church. I have enjoyed very much being with you. I do not take lightly the opportunity to preach the gospel. It's always a privilege and pleasure. I appreciate the elders extending to me the invitation. I appreciate your kind encouragement, your warm hospitality. Folks have fed me and taken good care of me, and I just appreciate that so much. Enjoyed getting to know your preacher, his good family. I tell you, putting pressure on me there with the famous sermon. My. You know, several years ago, I was getting ready to go in a gospel meeting, and I asked my wife, Dina, I said, what do you think I ought to preach in this meeting? And Dina said, well, take that good one. The good one? You know, you got to preach more than once in a gospel meeting. So that humbled me considerable. Finally, I managed to climb back up and ask, Well, which sermon are you talking about that I should take? And she said, I can't remember. I've only got one good sermon. She couldn't remember. Maybe it was the famous one on Bible reading. I don't know, Brother Brian. I'll tell you this. You may never be a famous preacher, but your wife's cookies could well make you famous. Sister Jenny's chocolate chip cookies are amazing and a highlight for me of this week. It's just been a joy to be with you. I appreciate the work that you're doing here and the things that you're doing in this community to shine the light of the gospel. Let's see if we can talk together one more time about the help that comes from God. And maybe you're disappointed in the way this meeting has gone because you were hoping I would speak on something else that God helps us with. Maybe you were thinking there'd be a lesson on prayer. Or maybe you were thinking there would be a lesson on marriage or a lesson on why bad things happen to good people. I want to suggest to you that while I can't cover everything, maybe this last lesson will give us some help. Because Deuteronomy 17 says, beginning here in verse 17, that when you get a king, Deuteronomy 17:17, he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of the law, approved by the Levitical priest. It shall be with him. He shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law, and that these statutes, and therefore do them, that his heart will not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. Maybe what we ought to think about is the instructions that are given here to kings. But they are to write their own copy of the law of God. Think how busy a king would be and how much time that would take. Yet God thought that was important for kings to do. Something here is being said about reading and following directions. That makes a difference, doesn't it? A couple years ago, Dina bought some chairs from IKEA. I think IKEA is the Swedish word for some assembly required, because the chairs had to be put together. And so I began to pull parts out of the carton. Dina said, oh, here's the instructions. Do you want to read them? What did I say? Well, of course not. It's a chair. How hard can this be? We're not talking about putting together a working model of the V8 engine. It's a chair. So, of course, I got my power screwdriver and began to assemble the chair. No difficulty at all. It went together perfectly until the very last step, when I realized that I could not fit the seat on the chair because I had put it together backwards, which meant I had to do what? I had to take it all apart and read the directions. So if you were wondering, what about a lesson on marriage or child rearing or prayer or this or that, maybe what the Lord would say to us is, like those kings long ago, what we need to do is read the directions. We need to be involved in regular time with the Word of God. And so this evening, I'd like to conclude our time together in this gospel meeting by just talking a little bit about the difficulties we have sometimes with reading the Bible. That really shouldn't be a difficulty because it's now available in so many forms. You can buy the Bible in any number of different translations. any kind of size print, different colored covers. You can get it on your phone. The Bible is available to us constantly. We always have the option to be reading the Bible. Yet, let's be honest, a lot of us really struggle with maintaining the habit of being in God's Word on a consistent basis. Yet every study shows, every survey shows, that spiritual maturity, growth in Christ are directly correlated with how regularly we read God's Word. I told you on Sunday that I wanted this meeting to be a turning point for you spiritually. Several years ago, I was preaching on this very subject. A fellow came out the back door at the end of the night. He told me that he had heard James R. Cope preach a sermon about reading the Bible on a regular basis. He said he made his mind up. This was in the early 70s. He said he made his mind up right then. He said, that's right. That's what God wants me to do. That's what I need to do. I'm going to do that. He looked at me and he said, with very few exceptions, I've been able to read God's Word regularly since then. He now serves God's people as a shepherd and elder. His walk with God is strong and powerful. That meeting for him was a turning point. He made the decision, I'm doing that. And what I want to do this evening is share with you the kind of things that we need to know so that we can do that too. I hope that you'll make the decision this evening, I'm doing this, and I'm going to share with you the three things that you need so that you can regularly read God's Word and benefit from it. In fact, I'll give you a bonus tonight. I'll give you a way to read the Bible that will help you grow in Christ on a consistent basis. Are you ready for that? Let's talk about what it takes to be involved in regular daily Bible reading. First and foremost, you need to make sure that you have the right reason for reading the Bible. People have a number of different reasons for approaching God's Word. Some people are going to the Bible, why? They're getting ammo so they can fuss at their denominational neighbor. I'm going to load up my KJV 47 and shoot him down. And while there certainly is a place for having religious discussion and for us being ready to give an answer for the faith that is within us, 1 Peter 3 and 15, I would suggest to you that reading your Bible so you can beat somebody up spiritually is a pretty, well, that's just a pretty low reason for doing that. Reading the Bible to apply it to others isn't what we're looking for. Some people come to the Bible as kind of a bucket list item. You know, I've always wanted to read the Bible through in a year. It's kind of like running a marathon or climbing Mount Everest. And I want to suggest to you again, that's really not a great reason to read the Bible. You're really going to, at the end of the year, check it all off. Okay, I did it. I never have to read the Bible again. Seriously? That's not where we're going. And that's certainly not what the king was told to do. Read regularly to be in God's Word. You know, someone says, I'm reading the Bible to know what's right and to know what's wrong. And that is a pretty good reason for reading the Bible. If I could borrow from 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible certainly equips us in that direction. There's certainly no way that I'm going to talk about daily Bible reading without reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. There we're told, all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and it's profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's Word has very real and very tangible benefits. It will teach you what's right and what's wrong. It will equip us to do what God wants us to do. That's a pretty good reason for reading the Bible. But I'm going to suggest an even better one. Can you find Jeremiah 9? In Jeremiah the 9th chapter, I want to read with you there what the prophet says, speaking for God, in Jeremiah 9, beginning in verse 23. In Jeremiah 9, let's have verse 23 here, where the prophet says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might, and let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, Jeremiah 9:24 now, let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. I want to suggest to you this evening that at the center of Bible reading is the idea of Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. We want to read the Bible to come to know God. That's what this is about. We're going to read the Word of God because it is a relationship builder. I want to spend time with God by reading His Word. That's what relationships are all about. All are built on communication. That's how relationships grow. We talk back and forth. In our relationship with God, we talk to God. What's that called? That's called prayer. You know what the problem with some of us in our relationship with God? We'd like to do all the talking. We're never listening. How do we listen to God? We listen to God through His Word. Through His Word, we come to know God, to know what He likes and what He hates, what He approves of, what pleases Him, what honors Him. We read about people who did a great job of serving God. We read about people who did a lousy job of serving God. We come to know God. This is so important. This is what Christianity is all about, building that relationship with God. Don't tell me this doesn't matter. Look with me over in Judges chapter 2. In Judges chapter 2, all through the Bible, this idea of knowing God is discussed. In Judges chapter 2, this is verse 10. Judges 2 verse 10 describes why the book of Judges happened. If you've read Judges, you know that over and over again, the people end up in idolatry and wickedness. What in the world? How could that happen? Judges 2 verse 10. Judges 2 verse 10, that generation arose, that generation also was gathered to their fathers. That's Joshua and all of those people. And there arose then another generation after them who did not know the Lord for Israel. Do you see that? They didn't know what God liked, didn't know what God approved of. They didn't care about God. They didn't love God. They didn't trust God. They weren't interested in serving God. They didn't know God. It's everywhere in Scripture. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 2. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, do you remember Eli's boys? They were rats. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, the text says in 1 Samuel 2, this is verse 12. 1 Samuel 2 and 12. Eli's sons, the text tells us, 1 Samuel 2 verse 12, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. See, I told you, I didn't make that up. They were rats. They were worthless men. Why? Because they did not know the Lord. You want to see that in the New Testament? How about Galatians chapter 4? In the fourth chapter of Galatians, Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, and he talks to them about their Christianity and their spirituality. Specifically, as in mind here, Gentile Christians who used to worship idols. And in Galatians 4, he says in verse 8, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that were by nature not gods. But now that you have come to know God, how then can you turn back to weak and worthless elementary principles of this world whose slaves you want to be once more? Can't go backwards. You now have a relationship with God. You know God. And what you and I want to do is we want to know God. How do we build that relationship? We build that relationship by regularly spending time in our Bibles. As we do that, we come to see and appreciate God. We come to love God. We come to see the world through God's eyes. He changes our perspective. It changes who we are as we develop that relationship with God. Now, I need to be clear here. When we get to talking about knowing God, in about a minute, somebody starts talking about, that's right, we got to know the facts about God. And that is the beginning place. That's the beginning place. Can't know God without knowing the facts of who He is. But that is not enough. I remember the first time I saw my wife, Dina, I asked somebody, hey, what's her name? I needed to know some facts about Dina. But I wasn't kidding. Oh, know her name. Okay, that's great. No, that was not nearly enough. I needed to know more than just facts about her. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we need to know more than the facts. God is eternal. God is love. God is holy. All too often when we talk about knowing God, that's all we talk about is a bunch of facts. Hey, I got a baseball card in my desk in my office of Nolan Ryan, greatest pitcher of all time. If you say otherwise, I'll fight you. Nolan Ryan is without doubt the best pitcher ever. On the back of the baseball card, there's all these facts about Nolan Ryan. How many no-hitters? 7. How many strikeouts? More than 5,000. How many wins? More than 300. All this data about Nolan Ryan. Let me ask you something. Do I know Nolan Ryan? I don't know Nolan Ryan. He doesn't know me. I don't care about Nolan Ryan. He doesn't care about me. There's no relationship, but I know a lot of data about him. Knowing information about God isn't the same as knowing God. We know God when those facts lead us to obey God as we learn from His Word, and then even more than just rote obedience, stay with me. We really have relationship with God when we've come to trust God and love God. That's where Bible reading needs to take us. Bible reading is time spent with God. Really, the question ought to be not, hey, did you read your Bible today? The question ought to be, have you spent time with God today? That's a different question, isn't it? And when we have that question before us, it really changes all the things that people say about why they can't read their Bibles. You know the things people say? Like, oh, Mark, you know, I'd like to read my Bible, but I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. Let me ask you this. If you're too busy to spend time with your spouse, what happens to your relationship? Well, your marriage will get stale and go south. And the reality is, some people have marital problems because they're spending more time on Facebook, or they're spending more time with their sports team, or they're spending more time on their hobby than they're spending with their mate. And they're neglecting that relationship. But when we value our relationship, guess what? We find time, don't we? Someone told me that girl's name was Dina, and it wasn't very long at all until I was making time to get to know, to build a relationship. Someone says, well, Mark, you know, I'd like to do that Bible reading thing, but the Bible's just so hard to understand. I read some in Revelation, and there's a beast there. He's got claws. What do you think all those claws mean? What do they symbolize? Let me just say this. First and foremost, you'll notice that I'm talking this evening about Bible reading and not Bible study. Sometimes we talk about Bible study, and I think there's this image of someone and they've got 18 commentaries out, 7 different translations of the Bible, and they're devoting their next 18 hours to studying this one passage. Maybe the original language lexicons are everywhere. Most people are looking at that thinking, I don't have those tools, and I don't have that kind of time. I'm not talking about Bible study. I'm not. There's a place for that. There's a time for that. But what I'm talking about is daily Bible reading, where we're going to spend about 20 minutes reading God's Word so that we can what? Spend time with God today, so that we can build our relationship with God. That's very different than some kind of academic pursuit in the Word of God. Again, there's a place for Bible study, but I'm talking about you're getting up first thing in the morning, you're going to spend some time with God. And while there may be some things in the Word of God that are hard to understand, I'm not trying to deny that. I've read Isaiah. Hey, there's some deep water over there. But let's be candid. Most of the Bible's not that difficult. Mark's gospel tells us that people, the common people, heard Jesus gladly. Why? Because Jesus talked right where people were, used ordinary figures like that farmer over there that's sowing some seed, so that ordinary people could understand God's Word. And you know what? Sometimes it may take a little bit of effort. We're reading something, we think, I don't understand about that. We may want to stop for a moment and look something up, see what somebody has said about that, or ask one of our elders, or ask our preacher for a little more information. And you know what? That would be okay. Thinking is not such a bad idea. Well, someone says, oh, Mark, you all about this Bible reading thing? You know, I've been hearing the Bible all of my life. Creation, Noah, Abraham, Moses, bunch of kings, you can't name any of their names, and then Jesus. I mean, come on, I kind of been there and done that. Well, I get it. The information in the Bible isn't going to change. There's never going to be a time that you're sailing through Samuel and you're reading 1 Samuel 17 and this time Goliath kills David. What? That's never going to happen. What's in the Bible does not change. But you need to know two things here. First and foremost, the reason we're reading our Bible is not for information. That's not what this is about. We're not looking for information. We're looking for transformation. We're looking to be changed by what we are reading. And if we're not being changed by what we're reading, because, oh, it's just same old, I'll tell you this, you're reading it wrong. Because while the Bible's information doesn't change, guess what? You change. Your life changes. I remember several years ago, 30 years ago, and on an early Friday morning, I was standing in a hospital room and a nurse handed me a pink bundle and said, "Congratulations, you're a father. You're a father." And suddenly a lot of passages in the Bible had a new meaning. I read over there where Jesus said, "Pray like this, our Father who art in heaven." That hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I knew how I felt about that little girl. And I knew that every part of me loved her. I loved her so much it hurt. It was scary that a little bundle like that could mean so much. And now suddenly I was calling God Father and realizing He loves me like that. You know, I'd read the Lord's Prayer before. But now I was different. So all that been there and done that, that's not going to hold water because you're changing. And in your quest to be transformed in your relationship with God, we're constantly, regularly reading the Bible. But you know, today as I talk with people about that, the challenge is all the information you want from the Bible is just at the end of your fingertips. You just Google for stuff or you just ask Siri. Somebody says we're now in the age where instead of asking God for wisdom, James chapter 1, we just ask Siri or Alexa or whoever our device is. And I guess that's a reality for a lot of people. But I want you to know this. You'll never Google your way to a deep relationship with God. The fact that you've got a study Bible or you've written a lot of notes in the margin of your Bible, that is no substitute for you spending time in God's Word so that you will know the Lord personally, so that you build that relationship with God that comes from spending time in the Scriptures. There's no shortcuts to that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, read with me there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. There Paul says, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, there Paul says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Look at all the effort words in that passage. Do your best. It is a word that is translated be diligent, or some translations even say be eager. Make an effort so that you can be an approved worker. Handling the word of truth. The difficulty today with Google and Siri and Alexa is that we're just looking for shortcuts for everything. There's no shortcuts to great relationships. You know, Americans love shortcuts, don't we? You ever be flipping around in the middle of the night? Well, you get on TV in the middle of the night, you get infomercials. What are they always selling? Exercise equipment. Every infomercial for exercise equipment is exactly the same. You've got somebody, and he's got a rubber band on two fingers, and he's doing this. It's the Webisizer. And what does he say? If you do this for 8 seconds a day, you'll have a six-pack abs. Well, I'm ordering that. I think I can do that while I eat donuts. That'll just be great. That's what we all want. We don't want work, effort. We don't want to strive or be diligent, but your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with your church, and with your God comes as a result of your willingness to work and spend time with it. Someone says, well, you know, Brother Roberts, I guess you're right about that. And one of these days, I'm going to read my Bible. And I think right here's the problem. Nobody says, I'm never doing that. What we say is, I'll do that tomorrow. And the problem with Bible reading is it's like a lot of things. There's no immediate catastrophic consequences if you don't do it. It's like saving for retirement. If you're 21 years old, you don't save for retirement today, what happens to you? Nothing. It's a whole lot more fun to spend your money on video games and cars and everything else than it is to put money away for retirement, because retirement is so far away. But you know, if you just keep doing that all your life, eventually it doesn't work, does it? Won't work. And in the same way, if you don't read your Bible today, what's going to happen to you? Well, the elders are going to withdraw from you. No, they're not. Well, I'm going to be a terrible sinner, probably fire up a chainsaw and become a terrible serial murderer. No, probably not. You know what's going to happen to you if you don't read your Bible? Nothing. Exactly. Nothing. You're not going to grow. You're not going to know God better. You're not going to build a better relationship with God. The repercussions of putting off daily Bible reading won't show up for years and years and years. And a failure to discipline ourselves in the long run can actually feel good in the short run, but it won't work. I'm telling you, you're not going to wake up 10 years from now, and suddenly, amazingly, miraculously, you're going to have this great relationship with God. That's not how relationships work. So instead of making excuses, what we need to do is say, I'm going to come to know God. I want to spend time with God. I'm going to do that every day. I'm going to read God's Word each day. Now, let me give you a quick caveat here. How's that going to work? It is going to work, but it's going to work slowly. Remember when you were a little kid and your mom would measure you against the closet door or against one of the door jams or the pantry door? She'd make a little mark, hold that ruler on your head, make that little mark. About 5 minutes, you'd come running back in and say, Mama, Mama, measure me again. She'd say, all right, you know what? Not much change. Not much change. Well, you'd go play. Get busy doing things. 6 months would go by, and then mom would say, hey, come here, I want to measure you. Guess what? You'd grown. Didn't even notice it. Didn't even know it. That's how spiritual progress is. Look with me in Luke chapter 8, please. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, sometimes when we talk about daily Bible reading and spending time with God and building a relationship with God, I'm afraid people get the idea they're going to read 5 verses and then this light from above is going to shine down on them and angels are going to sing, oh, and we're just going to just immediately have this tremendous spiritual breakthrough. And you know what? That can actually happen. It can. There'll be a day you're reading your Bible and you're like, whoop! I didn't even know it was in the Bible. This is amazing. Those kind of moments do happen. But not all the time. There's going to be days you're going to read your Bible and you're like, okay, read my Bible. See? It's not always going to be this transcendent spiritual breakthrough, because that's just not how growth works. In Luke 8, look at verse 15. In Luke 8 and verse 15, Jesus says, as for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. That's what we're going to need to make this go. I don't know anybody who plants blueberries today and expects to have blueberries on their cereal in the morning, except Christians who think they can read 3 verses and suddenly become super Christian. That isn't how spiritual growth occurs. We're going to need to learn to bear fruit with patience. And just because we didn't have an amazing emotional experience in our Bible reading today doesn't mean it didn't count. It's a process. Remember that king? Had to copy the law. That took time. Over time, he was changed. Over time, he was transformed. Guess what will happen to you? You can't read the Bible and put a ruler on your head every day and see marks go up the wall of the closet door. But if you'll read it in 6 months suddenly, something will happen. And you'll recall something that you read. Somebody will ask you for some advice, some counsel, and suddenly the Word of God will be on the tip of your tongue. Somebody will challenge you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. You'll be tempted in some way. And somewhere, all of a sudden, will come this spiritual strength, and you'll say, no, I can't be doing that. God would be disappointed in me if I did that. And then you'll be like, I don't even know where that came from. I do. Came from God's Word. Came from the time that you spent in the Word of God. The day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. Be patient. Slowly and steadily spend time with God and His Word. You will come to know Him. Somebody says, well, Brother Mark, how do you do that? Glad you asked. Because that's step number two. We're going to need to put some things in place so that we are reading the Bible in an effective way. And very quickly here, I just need to give you a couple of must-haves. These are things that have to be in place if your Bible reading is going to be effective for you. First and foremost, you need to have a quality Bible. That's a Bible that's a reliable, steady translation, like the New American Standard, the ESV, the King James, or New King James. These are word-for-word, literal translations. Make sure that you have a good Bible. And if you're reading the King James Bible, bless you. But honestly, most of us don't talk like that anymore. Nobody goes into McDonald's and says, whither hath thee a burgereth? That's just not how we talk. If you can read and understand the King James, good for you. But most of us can't, which means we're going to spend a lot of time just trying to decipher what the English means here. Get a Bible you can read and understand. Get a quality Bible. And then you're going to have to put some time down where you're going to do this. You know what I'm doing tonight? I am adding to your schedule. But you know what I'm not doing tonight? I'm not giving you 20 more minutes. You don't get 24 hours and 20 minutes in the day because you came to church tonight. You know how many hours you get in the day? Same 24 you had when you arrived. Which means something's going to have to give. Something's going to have to go. You need to look at your schedule and decide, this is where I'm putting that. This is where I'm going to do that Bible reading. Some of you, that's first thing in the morning. As soon as your feet hit the ground, you're chirping like an early bird and you're excited. Wow, some of us can't be doing that. I need a cup of coffee before I can do anything. That's not the best time for me. Some of you, maybe you could read on your lunch hour at work. Maybe some of you are going to read before you go to bed at night. Some, that's not a great time. You try to read your Bible before you go to bed at night, you're going to find you're agreeing with the Bible a lot. And it's going to kind of black out on you. That's not great. Make sure you know your rhythms, your schedule, when you're sharp, and you can spend some time with the Lord. But you got to carve that out. And make sure that you're doing some praying. Make sure that you're starting in prayer and you're ending in prayer. That gets you in the right frame of mind and you've asked the blessings of God as you seek Him through His Word. And then you got to have a plan. Got to have a plan. People read one day in Exodus, the next day they read in Revelation, next day they read in the Gospel of Mark, next day they read in Isaiah and say, well, I'm not getting anything out of this. Anything you do haphazard like that's not ever going to amount to anything. There are a gazillion Bible reading plans out there on the internet. You can go to the website for the Westside Church where I preach, justchristians.com. We have a number of Bible reading plans on our website, but you got to have a plan. Simple plan is better than a complicated plan because you use a simple plan. A plan where you're reading one chapter a day and you read a chapter a day is a whole lot better than a really challenging plan where you're going to read 900 chapters a day and you don't do it. Get a plan you can use. Did you know this? If you read a chapter of the New Testament a day, 5 days a week, you can read the whole New Testament in a year. Yes, you can. Chapter a day, 5 days a week. That's doable. That's doable. That leaves you 2 days to catch up, 2 days to read for other stuff, Bible class, Sunday worship, those kind of things. 5 days a week, chapter a day. You're through the New Testament in 1 year. Hey, a lot of the New Testament is short chapters. You can read Philemon at a stop sign. Some of Luke is a little bit longer. I got that. But that's a very doable, that's a very easy kind of plan. Get a plan. I'll tell you this. If you've got big hopes to read your Bible, and you haven't carved out a time and made a plan, you don't have a goal, you have a dream. And it's just a fanciful dream at that. In one study, a group of people was asked to exercise once in the next week. 29% of them did their exercising. The second group was given information on how important it is to exercise. 39% of those people exercised. But the third group was asked to commit to exercising at a specific place, on a specific day, at a specific time, in a specific way. Got a plan. 91% of them did their exercising. Get a plan, get ready. But you got to do more than just read. Do you know this? Look in Psalm chapter 1, please. Let's read Psalm 1:1 together. The first psalm is the introductory psalm to all of the psalms and teaches us how to read the psalms. And I'm going to work off Psalm 1:1 to help us understand how to read the Bible correctly. In Psalm 1:1, the psalmist says there, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." What's that mean? Well, to us, meditation is an ancient Near Eastern practice where you cross your legs into a pretzel and you chant. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. Meditate there means to consider, to think deeply upon the Word of God. You should know that the Word of God has awesome power to transform us and to build us into the image of Jesus Christ. It is God's Word by which we come to know and build a relationship with God. But that does not happen automatically. It happens when we consider the Word. We have to read the Word of God. That's step one. But then we have to do more than just read the Word of God. We got to think about it. We have to consider it. We have to meditate on it. If you don't do that, guess what? The Word is barren. The Word is powerless. We wonder why anybody reads their Bible. Hey, I read that chapter. It didn't mean anything to me. I don't know why people are reading the Bible. After a while, guess what? We quit. Because it isn't doing anything for us. It isn't transformational. It's not growing us. We're not building a relationship with God. We're not getting deeper with the Lord because we're not considering the Word. If you're going to read your Bible for 20 minutes, could I suggest to you that really what you ought to do is read your Bible for 15 minutes and then pray and meditate about what you read for 5 minutes. All too often we read our chapter, snap the Bible shut, check that off on the daily Bible reading schedule, and off we go. Then we wonder why the Bible's not doing me any good. Because we're not considering the Word. We're not meditating on it. We have to ask ourselves, what did I learn here about God? What does this say about God's character? What does this teach me here about what pleases God? Who in this text is pleasing God? Who in this text is not pleasing God? Who here shows true love for the Lord? Who here does not love the Lord? See the kind of things we need to be asking? Not fat questions. How many camels did Solomon own? That's not important. What is important is what? What is God saying here? Why did God put this in His book? What's the purpose of this story? What's the purpose of this psalm? What's the purpose of this epistle? What's going on here that helps me know God? Remember, that's why we're reading the Bible, not to count camels. We're reading the Bible so that we will know the Lord. I want to be clear here. I do not believe that God speaks in a still small voice in people's ears. But I believe God still speaks.
I believe he is still speaking through his inspired word, the sacred scriptures. In fact, the reason God isn't speaking in your ear is because God has spoken. And what you and I need to do is the hard work of training our hearts to hear what God is saying. That's what Bible reading is about. And that's what I need to do every time I read my Bible, is listen, hear. What is God saying about Himself, about sin, about righteousness, about my relationship with Him? What am I learning here that builds my relationship with God? That's the considering we want to do. And I promised you a Bible reading plan. I promised. Well, let me give you a little tool that we use at Westside that's been helpful for people to spend time considering the Word of God. This is not always easy. And this little acronym, which I call pathing a chapter, will help you to walk through the text you've read and consider the Word with an end in mind of knowing the Lord. So here's how that works. I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible and I'm going to find something in this chapter that causes me to praise God. We always want to praise the Lord. Every chapter of the Bible contains things about God that are great and amazing and awesome. I weary. You know by now, I've been here long enough. You know I love sports. I get weary of sports announcers. Somebody catches a football and they're, oh! No, it's not. Might have been good. Might have been cool. Might have been remarkable. I'll tell you who's awesome. God is awesome. That's who's awesome. You read your Bible, look for something where you say, wow, God, you amaze me. Then I'm going to look for something that admonishes me. When I read the Bible, I need to be changed by the Bible. And the parts of me that are not like Jesus Christ, and the parts of me that are not pleasing to God, those need to be identified, those need to be repented of, those things need to be changed. When we read the Bible, we need to be different as a result of reading the Bible. So I'm looking for something here that's admonishing me. Mark, don't be doing that. Mark, you better start doing this. I need to find something that is admonishing me. Then I'm going to find something in this chapter that causes me to trust God. Trust God. Faith is the essence of our relationship with the Lord. Faith and love are the two things that bind us to God. How do you build faith? Romans 10. Faith comes of hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you go looking, and you should, what you will find is that God is always making promises. Sometimes they're big monster promises, like the promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, or the promises to David that shape all of Scripture and the rest of human history. But sometimes they're just little promises, like to a woman who hasn't had a baby. You're going to have a baby. And if you go looking for that stuff, you'll find that lots of times God's saying stuff, and everybody's like, I don't think that's going to happen. Guess what? Every single time. God says, God does. And you start watching even for those little promises and you're like, God is such a promise keeper, which is so important because we've changed our whole lives. Because why? Because God made a promise to us that if we will follow His Son, in the end we'll hear, well done and faithful, good and faithful servant. I'm living real different because I trust God. You know why Christians quit? They don't trust anymore, do they? They don't believe it. They don't believe it. How do you build trust? Read your Bible. Look for something there that's going to cause you to trust God more. And then I'm looking for something that's going to build in me some hope. Christianity is not a 50-yard sprint. If it were, I think just about everybody could do it. Hey, just glue yourself together here, have some self-discipline for 21 seconds, and run this 50 yards. It's not like that. Christianity is a marathon that's run over the course of our entire life. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get down. And I need something in this text that's going to fuel me up and that's going to say, keep on keeping on and don't quit and persevere. So I'm looking in every chapter for something that'll build me some hope. That is the tool. That helps me consider the Word so that I come to know God better. You path chapters, you will grow. You will. You want to try it? You want to try it? Yeah, let's just do a chapter. You want to do a chapter? It won't take long. Let's turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, I ask you, do you want to try it? Like anybody's going to say, no, I got to go. Hey, the baseball game got rained out. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Why am I turning my Bible to 2 Peter 1? Here's why. Because in the Bible reading plan that we're reading this year at Westside, where I preach and labor, that's today's reading. We read 2 Peter chapter 1. So I'm turning to 2 Peter chapter 1 so that you'll know that I didn't just find me some cool chapter that lays up really nice so I can run this path thing and impress you with that. No, it works in every chapter, and here's a good example. This is what we read today. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. How about that? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Wait. I'm looking for something to praise God. I'm there. Three verses. God has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm so thankful for that. What if God didn't do that? You know, it wouldn't take a real brilliant fella, a rocket scientist, to figure out that there is a creator. You can look around at this world. It's incredible. It's amazing. And you'd say, there's a designer. There's a creator. Somebody built this. I wish I knew more about that creator. What does He want me to do? I'm walking on His dirt. I'm breathing His air. What's His plan? Why did He build all of this? What is this all doing? We would be frustrated, sitting in the woods for a long time, and know there is a God. But you won't know that God by looking at trees. I'm so thankful that God has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, God. Praise You for giving that to us. And this, so then verse 4, by which He has granted us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. Wow, there's the A in admonishing. Where am I on sinful desires? Well, verse 5, for this very reason, what very reason? To escape sinful desires, you need to make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. I think I can find an admonishment in verses 5, 6, and 7 for about forever. Am I growing? Am I exercising self-control? Am I steadfast? Am I godly? Am I building brotherly affection? I can just sit right down there for quite a while and be admonished. Thank you, Peter. Needed to know that. If these qualities are yours and are truly increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you lack these qualities, you're just nearsighted. You're just blind. And you forgot that you've been cleansed from His former sins. Well, I might cheat and decide right there, I'm going to praise God for that too. Could I do that twice? Would that be all right? I'm cleansed from my former sins. So I need, brothers, verse 10, to be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Well, there's a promise. For in this way you'll be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I praise God. I can't get there from here. But God made a way for me to get there from here, and He richly provided it. So I always intend to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Verse 12, there's my hope. If people in Peter's day needed a letter to encourage them to keep on keeping on, guess what? We need it too. We're not different from our first century brethren. They needed encouragement. I need encouragement. And if this letter encouraged them, it can encourage me. I'm kind of looking forward to reading 2 Peter. I think it right then, as long as I'm in this body, verse 13, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I'll make every effort, though, after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty when He received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice which was born to Him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. We were with Him on the holy mountain. Peter never forgot the transfiguration, did he? What a scene. And so we have, verse 19, the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place. That's where that comes from in our song, Give Me the Bible. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. There it is. There's the T. Trust God. One of the reasons we trust God is because of all those prophets who are always marching around saying stuff that made no sense whatsoever. Babylon's going to fall. Oh, come on. Have you seen Babylon? 50-foot thick walls, big moat, monster army. Babylon's going to fall. Guess what? Yeah, it did. It fell. Just like the prophet said. No prophecy is of any interpretation. No prophecy is ever produced by the will of men. Verse 21. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I trust God. And I trust God's Word because it was not produced by the will of men. It was produced by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's an amazing chapter, isn't it? It took 6 minutes to read that chapter. 6 minutes. And we're already closer to the Lord, aren't we? Praise Him more, trust Him more. We've been admonished, we've been given hope. 21 verses, 6 minutes. Bible reading works because God's Word is living and active. It's alive. It'll change you. Let me give you the third key then. I promise three things. What's key number three? Don't quit. You know what happens when we hear a lesson on Bible reading? We just get all excited about Bible reading. Go home, read our Bible. Next day, read our Bible. Third day, reading our Bible. What's going to happen on the fourth day? Everything you can imagine that could possibly go wrong will go wrong. You're going to get a flat tire. Your kids are going to come in and announce they have a giant science project that's due in the morning they've said nothing about until this exact moment. The cat's going to throw up on the rug, and your team's going to lose. Everything is going to go wrong that can go wrong, and you're going to finally fall into bed late, exhausted and tired, and you're going to go, didn't spend time with God. What are we going to do about that? Well, we may just have to get out of bed and read our Bible. Or we might just be so tired it's not going to be meaningful. We're not going to be sharp. We're not going to be able to path. So we may just have to pray and say, Lord, I blew it. Didn't control my time today. Didn't do first things first. Tomorrow, Lord, I will do better. And I'm going to get back to daily Bible reading. One of the big problems with Bible reading is that people quit. And then they decide before they can do today's Bible reading, they have to do yesterday's Bible reading, the other Bible reading they missed. And in a minute, you know, they're 384 chapters behind. So they can't do today's Bible reading because they got to read 384 chapters first. Stop it. If you didn't brush your teeth today, don't come talk to me. If you didn't brush your teeth today, you brush them double tomorrow? No. If you didn't pray today, do you have to pray twice as long tomorrow? No. See, daily Bible reading just becomes part of our lives. Some days you may miss a day. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about catching up. Just climb back up on that horse. Get your Bible out. Read where you're supposed to be reading. Read what you're reading today. Spend your 15 minutes in the text. Spend your 5 minutes pathing the chapter. Coming to know God. Keep at it. Day after day after day. Don't give up. That's what this is about. Now I must tell you, this is a very different way of reading the Bible. This is not about, can I check off all the boxes and parade around and tell everybody I read the whole Bible in a year. This isn't about quantity. This is about quality. And this isn't about bucket list Bible reading. Get it done and then I'll never do it again. This is about something that we do every day because we want to get to know God. It's purpose driven. It's in it for the long haul. Can I tell you this? It will change you. The Word of God will grow you. You read your Bible to spend time with God on a regular basis, you will be different as a result. At Westside, where I work and labor and preach, we're very, very consumed with daily Bible reading. We're doing all kinds of stuff all the time to get people in the Bible and keep people in the Bible. It's part of our culture. It's part of what we do. So as a result, about this time of the year, get to October, November, we get a lot of people who are starting to look up and realize, man, I read a lot of Bible this year.
People identify at Westside. It doesn't take them very long to figure this out. Man, I got to get with the program. We're reading the Bible around here. So you get a lot of people towards November start saying, I've never been able to read the Bible. Like, this is great. So I start asking the congregation about November. If there's some tip or trick or hack that you got that helped you read your Bible more, come share that with me. Come tell me what you did that was successful for you in Bible reading so I can just share that with the whole congregation. And I get some good tips. One time a lady came and told me that she has 2 times scheduled to read the Bible every day. Because invariably something happens to the first slot. She's got a backup slot. That's planning right there. That's serious, isn't it? But 1 year a lady came and handed me this letter. It reads like this. I had a very difficult year this year where I was in a very bad situation. And many mornings, the only thing I had to look forward to was reading my Bible. Each time I read, I was overwhelmed by how powerful God is and how weak our enemies actually are. But it was something I had to be reminded of on a daily basis. I actually craved God's Word just so I could remember there was something better for me and not what I was going through every day. That's it. That's it. She read her Bible as a chance to meet with God and to know Him better and rely on Him more, to see His strength and power and majesty and providence in her life. Who doesn't need that? Could this be a turning point for you where you pursue a real relationship with God by regularly reading His Word? That is the help that comes from God. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we're so thankful for Your Word, for Your Spirit that inspired it and provided it and protects it. We're so thankful that we're blessed with the freedoms to read it. And we ask, Father, that You bless us now as we have strong resolve to be more regular in time spent with You in Your Word. Bless us, Father, to have the character to fulfill and to follow through on what we resolve. Help us, Father, to seek You through the Word and to not be content with just reading Your Word. We want to know You, God. We want to be in a relationship with You. Help us, Father, as we read Your Word to build that relationship. It's in Christ that we pray, and amen. Well, you've been very patient. I'm way over time. But I thank you so much for listening so carefully tonight and throughout all of the week. You've been an encouragement to me, and I just appreciate that very much. Grab your songbook or get ready to give attention to the screen behind me. We'll sing this invitation song as an opportunity, if there's anyone here who's not obeyed the gospel, to become a Christian. I'll tell you this. You start reading your Bible and you're not serving the Lord, it'll eat you alive. On every page of Scripture, you'll meet somebody who's doing what God told him to do. And it won't be very long until you realize, I better get with it. I need to be obeying God. That's exactly right. And if you know that already, now's your time. You might as well get started with it. The time to do right is what? Always right now. Time to obey God is now. You can be baptized this evening for the remission of your sins. You'll be a Christian. If you are a Christian, you're not living right, you better not read your Bible. It will cut you to ribbons. Every page will convict you of sin constantly and without end. The Bible will afflict you and make you uncomfortable until you repent. So you might as well get to that too. If we could help you to repent and turn back to God and serve Him in a better way, we'd love to do that. If we could help you begin serving the Lord, if we could help you serve God better, we'd like to do that. Make your way right down front while we stand.